glory,
I'm living glory
by and by.
Oh,
I'll till and sing love's will there on high.
There
and with
my dear,
there no more,
no more
to die.
Oh,
oh yes, I live in glory,
glory
by and
by.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everyone doing? Good, good. Do you love God?
Yes.
Is God good?
Yes.
Do you trust God?
Yes.
I will trust in
the Lord.
Oh, I will trust in the
Lord.
Yes, I will
trust
yes,
in the Lord.
Oh, until I die. Oh, yes, will I will yes,
in
the Lord. I will yes,
in the Lord.
I will
trust
in the
Lord.
Oh, until I stay on the battlefield. Yes, I'm gonna stay
on.
I'm going to stay on the back. Yes, oh, I'm going to
stay
on the battle.
Oh,
until I die. Oh, yes, who will I'm stay on the battlefield? Yes, I'm going
to stay.
Yes, the battle. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield until I will trust. Yes, say, thank you, Father. Oh, I, yes, say, gonna trust Him till we die. I'm in the
Lord
until I die. Oh, yes, I will trust in the Lord. I will, yes, in the
Lord.
I will. Thank you, Father. Yes, oh, until I. If you're visiting with us this morning here at the Fifth Ward Church, you're truly our honored guests, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television, thank you for tuning in. We hope that we can say something this morning that will perhaps prick your heart, that will speak to your heart. If we can minister to you in any way, if you have a question, if you call a number on your screen, we would love to answer, talk to you, pray with you even this morning. Hopefully one day soon you'll get a chance, an opportunity to visit us here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ on the corner of Interstate 10 and Waco Street, right close to downtown Houston. Don't take long to get here, so come see us as soon as you can. This week, I hope that you have the opportunity to study the Word of God during the week.
Amen.
To read for devotion, for comfort. If you're a Christian and you haven't made that a part of your routine, you need to do that.
Amen.
It's like driving a car and not putting. You got a nice, beautiful car. You got tires on it, but you don't have any gas in it. Yeah, you keep driving, sooner or later, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be on the side of the road. Your car looking good, but no gas in it. And I know we need fuel to get to work. Lord have mercy. I was reading this week, and I was reading for comfort, for just understanding, peace. And sometimes you need to do that.
Amen.
Yes, yes. We read for instruction, of course, that we might grow in grace, the favor of God, the knowledge of God. And you know, when we read in God's word, You know, we are actually, God is talking to us. He's trying to help us through life. And if you don't read it, you don't know what God is. And when we read God's word, it gains favor with God.
Amen.
Because God said, my child is listening to me.
Amen.
And hopefully when we read it, we'll start doing some of what's in this word. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
I was reading, I selected this week to read from of course, you're reading God's word, the inspiration of Solomon. Bible says he was the wisest man that ever lived. That's what it says about him. So that means he's smarter than us. He surely is not only just smart, because some people are smart, but they're not wise.
Amen.
Some people have knowledge, but they don't know what to do with it, or what they're doing with it is not right. But Solomon was wise, and he learned through experience. See, some people can tell you how to raise kids, but if they don't have any kids, they don't mean that much to me. But Solomon lived life. And I was just reading, and I want to share this morning with you for a few minutes. I've entitled the lesson, Embrace Your Season. Embrace Your Season. You know the passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, where Solomon says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. That's what the scripture says. And all of his wisdom, God in his creation, he made the seasons that we can readily identify. You know, summer, spring, winter, fall. And we, over and over again, we see these seasons. And then Solomon says, to everything in life, there's a season. He's not talking about those seasons, but we can relate. Says, each moment in time, each phase of life must be treated in the manner appropriate to its season. That was my understanding. Brother Norval just read in your hearing a few minutes ago, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He said, he's made everything appropriate in its time. When it's wintertime, it's wintertime. When it's summertime, and both of them are beautiful in their own. Now, some folks complain about winter. Some folks complain about summer. Some folks complain about fall. We just never said it. What you complaining about? God made it all. Notice, he says this. Now, he says, he's also set eternity in their heart. In our heart, God has given us the ability to know. See, we have eternity. We don't know the end of time. God has said eternity, given us the idea that we can think about these things, but we understand, we should acknowledge that you don't know what God had in store. All of his work from beginning to end, you need to quit even thinking about that because you can't figure that out. Because everything that God has placed in his creation order, he did it for a reason.
Amen.
And it's like, you know, we as kids, we ask our parents, you know, why? You know, we had that question, why all the time? Why we have to do it? And after a while, sometimes I know my mother used to say, quit asking why and just do what I see it do. And it still don't stop you from wanting to know why, though, does it? But you worry yourself to death over some whys that we ask.
Amen.
And that's why this morning that song was on my heart. I'm just going to trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Because I know the Lord knows all and he understands all. And there's some things that I just don't understand. But God has given us enough that if we would trust him, he's going to take care of us. And Solomon, I was reading him, and it seems that Solomon believed that the goal is to enjoy each season for what they present. Both good and bad. And I don't know, I needed this week. Because sometimes you try to control things that you can't control. And you will worry yourself to death about things. We create problems for ourselves. Sometimes we try to stem the flow of time. You know how we do it? We try to hold on to what's in the past. Go back and get what's in the past. Or we try to move too fast and go to the future. And what we need to do is to understand where we are right now, and we need to embrace our seasons.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Yeah. You have the springtime. See? See, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7, he says, the light is pleasant, light is life, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Light is good, it's wonderful. We wake up and you see the sunset, all the promise you get to see. And you know what? While you can see, you better enjoy what you can see. Yeah, we better enjoy life as we can see. And then he goes on and he says, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all. Rejoice in your years. Yeah. Some of us who live with regrets, we're living in yesterday. And yesterday is bothering today. It's bothering tomorrow. And we don't even realize we have a blessing today. If we'd enjoy today. Now, if you're upright and you're walking, you need to say, thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, you know, and I know, girl, I need this. I need, you better be glad you are sitting here this morning. Amen. And it says, if he lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. God put us on this earth to enjoy life that he's given, his creation, his beauty, not that you can see the stars. You better appreciate the stars. Yes, yes, yes. When the last time you looked up and even saw a star? That may be difficult to do in the city of Houston. You need to drive out a little ways and every now and then look up at the stars. Help you appreciate God more. Then he goes on to say, he says, indeed, and let him also remember the days of darkness. Now, you remember that light is not always around all the time. For they will be many. It's like God is preparing us. He said, now in this life, he says, everything that is to come will be vanity or be futility, if you will. And as remember, in our lives, enjoy life, but the longest day has the night coming. And remember, the longest night has the day coming. And remember that darkness doesn't last forever and light doesn't last forever, but they're all a part of life. Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, when you can laugh, you need to laugh. Yes. Some folk never laugh. Right. Always have a sour face, even with something good. Well, I know it ain't gonna last. Oh, and have mercy. What a way to live your life. Yes, because there are gonna be some days when we're gonna all cry. It comes, somebody in here this morning, you're so burdened, and it may be it is a time of mourning, and those of us that are here, that are saints, that are Christians, we need to remember that everything don't go good for people all the time. You happy, but don't get too happy. Remember that those around us are suffering, that's hurting, but also don't you let someone else's sadness take away your joy all the time. Oh, Lord, Solomon, I need this. Because, see, some folk, when they sad, they want everybody in the church to be sad. Thank the Lord everybody's parents, cousins, friends don't die in the same week. We go to the funeral. We mourn with them. But also we get up and do the Lord's work. We go about our deeds. That's how God made us. He made these seasons. He made the springtime where it's the time of our youth, our young people. Lord have mercy, you're in the spring of life. Yeah, you see, yeah. Yeah, some of us in here that's over 40 now. Yeah, we remember back then. Yeah. And boy, I tell you, youth is a beautiful thing, isn't it? They just don't. I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty, because you know I'm kind of in between now, and I mean you. I see these kids and they don't realize what they have. Oh, I'm telling you, you can eat anything you want to eat. I mean, just about anything. I remember when I used to eat Cracker Jacks and ice cream at the same time. What you talking about? If I eat some ice cream right now, I miss a month of church. I have to take pills and everything else. Drinking milk, eating steaks, chicken, and ribs at the same plate. You better enjoy that. You take these kids, they go to CC's Pizza. We took the kids to CC's Pizza one summer. And I watched my nephew, Spencer Smith, and Brother Murphy's son, Matthew. I watched them eat 23 slices of pizza apiece. But springtime youth is a season of preparation. Solomon, he said this about youth. He said in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9, rejoice, O young man. Yeah. When you're young, laugh. Enjoy your youngness. When you don't have these major responsibilities, you don't know what a bill looks like. Well, older people, shouldn't they say praise the Lord? I remember my daughter asked me, I remember when she was getting older, she was, I can't remember what she said, Daddy, what is insurance? I say, Lord, have mercy. Boy, old to be young and naive. Yeah, so many things. He says, enjoy during your childhood, let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood is what he says. And see, some burdens as a young person, don't try to, you're learning, it's a time of preparation, but don't put too much on yourself. You know, you accept training. Train up a child in the way he should go, Proverbs 22:6. Accept training, but you don't try to be grown before your time. Most of your life, if we live 70, will be lived in what's called the grown state. You don't have that long to be. And Solomon, he says this, young people, enjoy it while you can. Yes. Right. Your body is fluid. It's loose. Your body is, I was walking over in the gym and the boys were in there playing basketball. I just had a flashback when I used to do that. And I was, my legs, my knees was hurting watching them play. And sometimes you never think about it now that it's not going to happen. And you can just, young people, they get up, don't stretch, don't do nothing, just get up and start running. Yeah, I said, Lord, have mercy. Thank the Lord for that. He says, he even says this, and don't misunderstand this. He says, and follow the impulses of your heart. And the desires of your eyes. While you're young, notice there are things that you're inquisitive about and seeking. And sometimes parents, we hope they need to see things that they don't understand and ask the questions: What is this? How does this work? If you're gonna make any mistakes, you need to make them while you're young, but don't make too many. And be willing to listen to folks. But see, I also understand that the impulses of your heart when you are young, they come because we don't know, we don't understand, and you do when you're in a class, when you need to just ask the right person what's going on. Yes, our boys, I hope you do get a Twitter when you see a beautiful girl. Amen, somebody. And not a beautiful boy. Yeah. And vice versa for our girls. Some people go, these young people, they don't need to, you need to split them all up. No, we don't need to split them up all the time. No. And because as older people, you had those same impulses also. So don't act like you don't. But notice what else Solomon says. Thank the Lord. He says this. He says, yet know that God will bring you to judgment. So, no, you're not free to do what you want to do when you want to do. He says he will bring you judgment for all these things. And he says, so remove grief. See, if you're young, and I know life can treat you cruel sometimes. He says, but remove grief and anger from your heart and put them away from your body. Put pain away from your body, because childhood and the prime of your life are so fleeting. And so if you're walking around full of anger, full of grief and sadness, he says, and I know it's a big responsibility to put up on a young person, Lord, we need help in this area, but God does not want you to be walking around angry at the world. And that's why you need to keep seeking, and you need to especially if you can understand these words from God, you need to seek, because there is a better life that God wants you to have as a young person. Amen. But there's some things that you can do while you're young that after you get older, you can't do.
Right.
Some things you want to do when you get older, your body won't let you do them.
Amen.
Your mind won't let you do them. Yes, while you're young, you know, Brother Gary went back to school after the age of 50. Do you know how hard? Notice this, not to say that you can't remember things, but there are so many more things you have to deal with in life that makes it so. So while you are in school, while you are, no bills, while you're at home, take care of your business. Yes. And Solomon, he was giving some wise counsel to the young folks. Accept training. Demonstrate faithfulness even while you're young. Listen to what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe as a young person. So as a young person, you can be an example. No, yes, you can live a disciplined life in the springtime of your life. Don't get book wild and say, I'm going to do what I want to do, because some young people have never made it back.
Amen.
Never made it back. The most of the baddest habits that we have in our lives, we pick them up when we are young. There are those who smoke now at the age of 60 who wish they wouldn't have picked up a cigarette at the age of 14.
Amen. That's right.
It just makes it harder. Yeah, it makes it harder when you're just undisciplined as a young person. You have the summertime comes in our lives, and that's the time of manhood, womanhood. It's the season of production, and we have individuals in here this morning, it's in the summertime of their lives. It's when the apron strings are cut. It's time to forge a life, choosing. Paul, he wrote something in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. He said, when I was a child, I used to speak as a child. He said, I think like a child, reason like a child. And notice this. There is a difference between a child's thinking and what the scripture calls a man or woman's thinking. There's a difference. It's just more, see, there's more, you have more wisdom just from being, things you see, things you know, reasoning. You know, children, young people, sometimes you're thinking about nothing but yourself. You know, satisfying your needs at the time. I want this. You don't think about the repercussions of some decisions. We make decisions, and we just selfish, and we want everything. But as an adult, you try to grow up. And Paul is saying, as we mature as Christians, he says, I did away. That come a time that some things you just put them away. It's a sad thing to see a grown man acting like a little child. You know, see, children, you have to say, son, time to get up, go to school, put your clothes on, make up your bed, fix you something to eat, go brush your teeth, wash your face. Come on, son, get up, come on, we're going to be late. Now, when you have to do that to somebody that's grown, and you have to, the wife have to, baby, you going to get up, you going to work today? You going to get up? You need to go brush your teeth, baby. There's something wrong with that picture. Amen, somebody. That's why you accept the training when you're young, when you're in the springtime. You don't know how to do things. Sometimes you complain about it. I don't know. They're trying to train you to get you ready. And see, most of the time, why we don't embrace our seasons, we try to go back to something that we need to let go.
Right.
Or we don't move forward to something that we need to be. And it causes so much conflict and so much heartache in our lives.
Amen.
If we don't embrace our seat. Somebody in here this morning, somebody in here need to hear this morning, it's time for me to be a man.
Right.
It's time. It's time for me to accept my responsibility. It's time for me to not have to stop begging and asking everybody else to do something for me that I can do for myself. Solomon was trying to give this wisdom to men and women. It's in the summertime of your life. It's the time of productivity. Get up and do something. Yeah, he says this in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 4. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand. You know what a negligent hand? It's a slack hand. It's a slothful hand. Yeah, that's the reason. He says, poor is he who works with a slothful hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. See, the sooner you can learn that, the better advantage you have in this life. Yes, he says this. He says, he who gathers in the summer is a son who acts wisely. But he who sleeps in the harvest is when it's time to be gathering your goods, is a son who acts shamefully. Yeah, see, that's no, in the summertime, it's not a time to waste. It's time for busy. You're diligent. You're taking care of business. You're being responsible. That's what time to see. And we need to embrace our see. Stop wasting the time. Time is so fleeting. But I will say this about this summertime. It's a dangerous time because some people lose their focus and. Some people are so in pursuit and so focused on material goods and trying to make it in life and working hard. And I got things to do and play. Because if you don't have God in your life during this time, what you're building is a house of cards. Yeah, you might have a few things. You got a nice little ride and a nice place to stay. And you got some stuff on that looks nice and it looks nice. But if you don't have God, all that stuff can fall apart in a heartbeat. Yes, the psalmist, he put it this way in Psalms 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that built it. That comes from God. He says this, that the watchman keeps awake in vain is what he said. It's vain for you to rise up early, to retire late. See, some folk work like a dog, night and day, and they are proud that they're workaholics and they've acquired some things. He says, you can do all of that, but listen to what else he says. To eat the bread of painful labors. You work hard, but you enjoy your food, but it's hard work. And he says, for he gives to his beloved even in his, for those that serve God, God will bless you. You do it his way, even while you sleeping. Amen. Praise the Lord. I need to hear that. Yeah, because sometimes we get beside ourselves. And we lose our way. Even in the Lord's church, some of us give God a little piece, a little corner, a little, just because we snuck in here on Sunday and gave God 10 minutes, and then we off to where we wanted to do our thing and don't realize your blessings are coming from God. God says you seek him first. You give him his praise. You give him his glory. You give him his honor. God will bless you while the other man is slaving on. Lord have mercy. Yeah. Now we can't be lazy. There's a difference. See, we have to be efficient with our time. Amen. You be responsible. Take care of your business. Do what you need to do. Work hard. God not saying being lazy. Somebody say, I like that scripture because I'm not going to know. That is not what they say. No, you take care of your business, but don't you deny God of his praise and his glory. And while you are working, you take God to work with you. Yes, you give him the praise. You give God the credit. You give God the glory because it's all by the grace of God. God could snap your little health and you be in your hospital bed. Somebody else will be cashing your check. Amen, somebody. You have the autumn time of life. Yeah. That's the time of maturity. It's the season of provision. We have those in here. It's in that autumn time of life. It's the time when your strength fades, but strength is replaced with skill and wisdom. Amen, somebody. Yeah. That's why I thank God that I serve at a church that has all of these seasons in. Okay. And I'm at an age now that I've been blessed to experience and to watch a lot of people, work with young people, and be blessed to have the wisdom of the mature and the age that I've been close enough to learn from seeing. And I'm telling you, there's great advantage to watching people and watching people of God live. And you reach the age of maturity where you see that, you actually see in the church people who have matured and who've done things God's way and how God blesses. Yeah, and you're getting old and your strength is, I think this is where I am. I think it is. Boy, I didn't know I'd ever be saying that. Yeah, you know what he said, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength. Notice, the glory of young men is their strength. Boy, we were over here, the brother from the disaster relief is going to speak tonight. Church of Christ Disaster Relief, wonderful program where they provide goods for those who are in distress. And they brought a truck over here this past week or last week, maybe week before last, and they bring that truck. All they want, you have to have somebody unload the truck. And we were calling, trying to get somebody, you know, some of the brothers, but it was during the week, and the school was just out. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. School was out, high school. And so we called one of my nephews and said, look, Lance, can't some of your friends come over here and help us unload this truck? And his mother said, yes, they can come. And about 12 young men, maybe 10 or 12 young men, came over here. Brother Harvey, Brother Basie, they were supervising. Yeah. Boy, Brother Basie, those boys came in, and Brother Harvey, they looked like their eyes got big. Oh, praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And those young men, I got some pictures. I don't have them with me. But those young men, I wish you could, but those young men worked getting that truck unloaded.
They worked.
And I was watching. I mean, they were pushing pulling the dolly and stacking boxes. And
they worked good.
They worked good, didn't they? I saw them and I took some pictures. I didn't have to lift a box. But notice this, but Brother Basie and Brother White, now somebody had to show them where to put everything. And so Brother Basie and Brother White, they were loving that. Just put it right there, put it right there.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. The glory of young is their strength. In the church, don't you glad you were in a church that got young folk and old? We couldn't do nothing. There are things that young people need to do. And notice this, that's your glory. They know you glorify God when you use. See, there are other young people who using with their youth for the wrong thing. And it's being wasted. And they say young, they think that they're going to feel that way. One day, they're going to waste it, and they're not going to be able to do it. He says this. He says, excuse me. He says, and the honor of old men is their gray hair. Yeah. Notice, so notice, just because you're getting older and you're getting mature don't mean that you are useless.
Right.
I can proudly say that, you know, as you get older, it's honorable.
Amen.
Some of us, we get middle age and we get antsy and we start dying everything and trying to go back to 20 years. You're not 20 anymore.
Right.
Amen, somebody. Yeah, you need to embrace your season.
Amen.
Yeah, you need to embrace, because see, there are things that I know right now that a young person, these youngsters, they think that they know something. I can run rings around. They don't know it. I can run rings around. You remember? Do you remember when Muhammad Ali, in the waning years of his career, you remember when he fought George Foreman? Some of the young people don't remember that.
Right.
They called it he put on George Foreman what's called a rope-a-dope. Young people, they don't even remember when George Foreman. Muhammad Ali was used to be called the greatest. At this time, he lost, and George Foreman was in the prime of his life. He had just 24 years old. He had just beat up what's the short boxer? Joe Frazier. He just knocked Joe Frazier out six, seven times. Knocked him out in the first, second round, third round, and I remember that at that time. I see. And they said, Muhammad Ali's going to fight George Frazier. I said, no, he's not. He's going to fight George Frazier. George Foreman, I said, he's going to kill. I was a Muhammad Ali fan. No, Muhammad, don't fight George. You're going to get crucified. Muhammad Ali had a plan for George.
Right.
Let me tell you, I tell you what, you young people, this is your homework. You go Google. You go Google rope-a-dope. And watch on YouTube. I know it's got to be out there somewhere. And you watch George, you watch Muhammad Ali, how he whooped George Foreman. And he was on, George come out, he was boxing, and Muhammad Ali, and even people were talking, oh, Muhammad, he's going to get crucified. Oh, he's on, Muhammad Ali stayed on the rope. That's why they call it a rope-a-dope. He leaned back against the rope, and George Foreman just went, whoosh, 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 and Muhammad Ali was just blocking everything, and everybody thought he was beating him up, but he was just blocking. He was in great shape now. Make no mistake about it, he was in the best shape of his life, and he was taking those punches, and then he started playing with George Foreman. He said, come on, hit me some more, hit me some more. And George said, whoosha, whoosha, whoosh. And after a few rounds, George got tired. And you could see him, his punches, he would, ooh, his punches were getting slower. Then Muhammad Ali used that wisdom on him, and he started tap, payout, payout. And you saw George Foreman tired, and the commentator said, George is getting tired, he's getting tired. And Muhammad used that old wisdom on him, and wayow, wayow. And Muhammad got off those ropes, and he clocked George, and George went down like a big redwood tree. So your youth is good. But I tell you what, there's nothing like some good wisdom. Yeah, see, we might not be able to work harder, but we can work smarter. Yeah, in maturity, in many ways, it's the most fruitful period of our lives. Yeah, it's a time to mature in what we know. Those that have been in Bible class in Colossians, we've been studying the book of Colossians. Colossians 1:1-9, it says, for this reason, since we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And if we're living for God and we're in this season, we ought to be applying some of this stuff we are reading in God's word, so it'll bless our lives. And we're fruitful Christians because we're enjoying the benefits and the provisions of wise living in this time of our life. It's also time to pass on what we've learned. It's a time to broaden our concerns. When we're young, we're all concerned about ourselves. We're self-centered. As we get older, we broaden our concerns. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul wrote this, do nothing selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others.
Amen.
It's more blessed to give than to receive. Yes, and so we're maturing in life, and we know that there's more than just black people and white people and all these segmented groups, and we're doing God's will, and we want to just please God in everything that we undertake to do. And it's not a time, those of us that's in this autumn time, not a time to act crazy now. No, it's not a time to lose your way.
That's right.
No, it's not a time to get antsy and quit your wife of 25 years to go get you a young honey.
Let it out.
You can't handle that. Yeah, we get antsy. Yeah. You might make her or him think you can handle it for a minute. They find out you can't handle that. You need to act your age, amen, somebody. Now, time to get crazy on. Lose your way in this autumn time of life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. You, however, continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, and knowing that from whom you've learned them, that from your childhood you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads, notice, to salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Some of us at this time in our life, we need to stop a minute and gather ourselves and say, I've come too far. I'm going to keep on doing what I know is right. I'm not fixing to lose my way at this time.
Amen.
And it can happen to us. Those of us that have been in the church a while, we get a little bored sometimes because we're not challenging ourselves to continue to grow, and we get stuck.
That's right.
Where we are.
That's right.
And the devil comes and snatches us away from God. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Then, as I close, the winter time comes. If we live any time, it's the elderly. We're blessed with many who are elderly here. And it's the time of preservation. It's the time of preservation. Yeah, strength may be gone, but it doesn't mean life is stopped. Yeah, just move a little slower. Take your time. Yeah. You just start a little earlier. Yeah, see. This is a big gap when you between the young and the between the summer and the winter. It's a big gap, and see, you know, we need to be tolerant and considerate of each other. Because sometimes when you're in this winter time, you get too hard on the young folk. You so impatient, and you're these young folks, and they act like they just, I don't know what the world coming to. Yeah. Bro, Levi say, we forget we were young. You know, when you're older, when you see kids running and moving, it just make you nervous.
Yeah, right.
It just, ooh, won't they be still somewhere? Ooh, everybody running around. And
right.
Well, they're young. My grandkids at home, I'll be sitting there sometime, I'll be, ooh, ooh, ooh. To be still in this house. Yeah. And then sometimes our young people, they so impatient.
Right.
Mommy, you need to hurry up. They just so slow. You keep living.
Right.
Keep living. Keep living. My dad used to say that. I'm like, I ain't even paid attention. As I got older, you just keep living. Or you say, what is he talking about? Keep living. Well, now I'm finding myself saying to my children, you keep living. Now they having children, and I be saying in my mind, see what you're going to say now. But true strength is not in the body. It's not in the physical body. True strength is in the spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying. Oh, that's the truth. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day, is what the scripture says. That's why. That's why, you know, and when you mature in the Lord, you know, this is what sustains. See, when you you're gonna have some things gonna happen. You'll have some pains in your body. You know, things don't happen as fast as they used to happen. But your faith, your trust in God, and just you watching life. You go back and you remember, you know, well, you know, you see people that live lives who don't live it in accordance to God's word. Notice, there is a price to pay when you don't live for God. And you understand now that God's way is the best way. Righteousness exalted a nation. Now, notice, and I say that because see, some things you can't even say to people. You have to trust in God. And you mature in the Lord and you come to understand that God will provide. God is good. And I'm going to keep my trust in God. So when you come to the Lord's house, sometimes you wonder why some of these older folks sing so loud. They've been through some things. Yeah, and they're happy to praise God. They're happy to sing praises to God and our trust in the Lord. They say, why is she singing so loud? You just don't have nothing to sing about right now. Yeah, this time of life, I want to give some encouragement. I'm closing. I want to give some encouragement. See, this time of life and, you know, the winter time of life, you know, your friends die, you're reading obituary every day. You know, they put the obituary in the newspapers, and, you know, most young people don't even know it's there. They don't. I see my mother-in-law, you know, I hear him on the phone. Yeah, I see Fred Merch, he died. One of my classmates died. I be hearing him talking on the phone. Why are they talking about folks dying? It's because everybody around their age, they start dropping off.
Right.
Mm. And I think they're looking at us to make sure they're not in there. Our loved ones, some of them lose spouses. Mm-hmm. The regular work life has come to an end. Oh, thank the Lord, we have some those that's retired here. Well, I tell you, we have some beautiful. See, that's because your work has retired. We don't retire from serving God.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Your mindset is that you want to give what you have to God to the end. Oh, Lord have mercy. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. See, the difficult time in a race is not at the beginning when you're full of energy. It's not the difficult time. It's just starting at the end, getting focused and getting in the race. And you're young, you're running, vibrant, and looking at the flowers and... But the difficult time is when you don't have that many laps to go. Energy comes from you, and your health is failing. And I don't want to end with this poem I found. It's called "I'm Not Growing Old." It says, they say that I'm growing old. I've heard them say it times untold, in language plain and bold. But I'm not growing old. This frail old shell in which I dwell is growing old, I know full well, but I'm not growing old. What if my hair has turned gray? Gray hair is honorable, they say. What if my eyesight's growing dim? I can still see to follow him who sacrificed his life for me there on the cross of Calvary. Why should I care if time's old plow has dug some furrows in my brow? Another house not made with hand awaits me in the glory land. My hearing may not be as keen as it is as in the past it may have been. Still, I can hear my Savior say, come, faltering child, this is the way. The outward man do what I can to lengthen out this life's short span, shall perish and return to dust as everything in nature must. But the inward man, the scriptures say, the inward man is growing stronger every day. Then how can I be growing old? I'm safe with the Savior's fold. Ere long my soul shall fly away and leave this tenement of clay. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. I'll meet you on the streets of gold and prove that I'm not growing old.
Amen.
I hope you're encouraged today to, as you live life, as we live life, to first of all recognize what season we're in.
All right. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're young, be young. Yes, 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 yes. Embrace you. Our time, the difficulty becomes when we get close to the edge of transition. See, when you're 15, 16, 17 year old, you want to be 25. You're not there yet. Yeah. You see it down the road and you want to grab it, but you're still not ready for it. Yeah. Some folks who are 40, they want to go back to 25. You feel like you're kind of young, but you're not 25. Yeah. And sometimes we lose our way. We get antsy. The scriptures say, casting your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And wherever we are in life, let's don't be disillusioned. Let's don't try to be somebody, something that we are not. One thing we do know, this: tomorrow is not promised, whatever season that you are in. And whether you are young or whether you are old, there are short graves in the cemetery. There are old graves in the cemetery. And through it all, we all need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lead not to our own understanding. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be a Christian. You need to be a child of God, and you come to God by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who lived, who died, who is coming again one day. Scripture would tell us that Jesus died at about the age of 33, 34 years old. Notice, he was not a teenager when he died. He was not a senior citizen when he died. I believe that God did that for a reason. To remind us, yes, he's made these seasons, but God can take us out of here at any time. Okay, what age you are, you need to have the Lord with you. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, if you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, God will hold you in the hollow of his hand. And if we be faithful until we die, whatever stage, whatever season we're in, God has promised us a land of rest, a land that we have no more worries at all. That's God's promise to us. If you're here and you'd like to come, if you're here and you'd like to ask prayer for the church, if you're here and you'd like to get something right, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want
to be
Christian in my heart, in my heart,
in my
heart, oh, in my heart,
in my
Lord,
I want to be a Christian.
To be more loving.
Everybody come to Jesus.
And Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart. In my heart.
Yes.
Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart.
You can still come, even as we sit, you can come.
And Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart, in my